There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except on the occasions when you see it on the Saturday and once in a while on the Monday. Joining me this week, we have power in the studio this week. He is the manager of Britney Spears, who these days is a star on the strip at Axis Theater at Planet Hollywood. He also manages Miley Cyrus, Avril Lavigne, Steven Tyler, and the DJ Pauly D. Most recently, he signed the vocal group Fifth Harmony as well. He's the manager of the stars, and he lives in Las Vegas. Welcome to the studio, Larry Rudolph.
Hey, how are you?
I've never been better. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, except right. You just made me very tired by repeating that list.
We'll edit it out. You know, you have to save that. That's your boilerplate.
Yeah.
You use that as your signature.
I'm going to get it tattooed on my forehead.
All right. We'll do that later.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
You're a jet setter.
I don't like to think of myself as that, but
I'm a
local. I live here in Vegas. I love it here.
Let's start there. Yeah. I didn't know this about you. You've lived here for a couple of years.
Yeah,
I didn't know this until very recently. You have a home in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. We just met recently.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
Whose fault is that?
Probably yours. at the El Dorado.
The El Dorado Cantina.
Great Mexican food.
I'll tell you, folks, and this is not a shameless plug. It's give credit where it's due. It's a very good 24-hour around-the-clock restaurant connected to Sapphire Gentlemen's Club. But not part of the business.
Correct?
That's right. All right.
Great Mexican food.
Have the Feinstein.
Yes.
Chicken Feinstein, is that what it's called?
That's exactly right. The Chicken Feinstein.
It's turning into a Phil Rizzuto Yankee broadcast here.
I like the Feinstein fajitas.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anyway, that's where we met. And why do you do business where you could do business in so many other entertainment meccas for what you do? Why Las Vegas?
Obviously what brought me here was the Britney show. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting history to it because it's something that was rolling around in my head for years before we actually did it. I started sort of exploring it and thinking about it probably about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Maybe even more than that. Mm-hmm. I just thought that, I was sort of looking at what was going on in Vegas and really thought that it would be an interesting home for somebody like Britney, because the idea was it's a way to tour without touring. we've spent so much time on tour buses going around the world, airplanes, hotels, living that life. And the thought of being able to have people come to her instead of her go to them, considering the fact that this city has such an enormous tourist base, mm-hmm. And changes over every few days, it sort of seemed like a no-brainer. And it took me a minute to really put it all together. And obviously with an artist as young as Britney is and was at the time, it's sort of hard to park somebody like that in one city when the world is out there sort of begging her to come.
She has had a very lucrative touring history.
Yeah.
Britney Spears always among the top 10 in Polestar.
We've done many world tours, and it's really nice to be not doing that now and sitting here. So really what happened was is the thing that ultimately got us to pull the trigger was, I was coming to Vegas a lot. George Maloof is one of my best friends.
Uh-huh. And owner of the Palms.
Yeah,
at the time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And when he opened the Palms, I was coming all the time and sort of seeing the city and seeing the evolution of the city. And then all of a sudden when the EDM thing happened, mm-hmm. here in the city, I saw a massive change in the demographic almost
overnight.
Was this
about 10 years ago? Are you putting us
no,
in
No, it's
that?
A little less than 10 okay. years ago, I think. It was probably about four or so years ago where I really started to notice the big change, maybe five, when I started to notice the big change in the demographic. And I saw that you had all of these. What Vegas used to be was sort of a middle-aged couple would come in. They'd have They'd have dinner, they'd go to a show, they'd do a little gambling, they'd go to sleep. That was Las Vegas. And then all of a sudden, you know, with the EDM crowd and the opening of all of these mega nightclubs, everything changed around, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. you had a much younger fan base coming in also who weren't really the gamblers necessarily. They were coming in because they would come in, go to the pool during the day, take a nap in the afternoon, and then go to the nightclubs at night. So what I realized was there was this big hole there for sort of a pregame situation for them.
That would lead into the club.
Lead into the club. So now instead, and of course it required a slight change in behavior, but Britney was the perfect artist to do it because they all love her. And she's got the perfect catalog, and she's the perfect performer, and the show that we built is the perfect show for them to sort of leave the pool a little earlier, take a little shorter of a nap, and then you know, go out. The bars are packed at the Britney show. Everybody's up and dancing, and you know, and getting ready for the night. And then they leave there and they go straight out to the nightclubs, and it's sort of party from right there. So it works out great.
It does work out great. It's been a huge success here. We're going to talk more about Britney and the upgrades to her show here in a second, folks. We're going to take a break here and let Josh Bell review a couple of the new releases this week, and then we're going to be back. John Katzlamitis with Larry Rudolph. So stick around. I know we will.
Superhero landing.
Yeah, that's really hard on your knees.
Totally impractical. They all do it.
You're a lovely lady, but I'm saving myself for Francis. That's why I brought him.
That's Ryan Reynolds as the title character in the superhero movie Deadpool. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. The Long in the Works movie starring the sarcastic, ultra-violent Marvel Comics anti-hero is vulgar, gory, and self-aware. In between his dirty jokes and self-referential insults, Deadpool participates in a fairly familiar superhero origin story. The story, which also includes his quest to reunite with the love of his life, played by Marina Bakarin, and his team-up with a couple of third-rate X-Men, is nothing special, but Reynolds and director Tim Miller make it fun by sheer force of their enthusiasm for the material. As in the comic books, a little Deadpool goes a long way, and the nonstop jokes get a bit tiresome, especially since only about half of them really land. I give Deadpool 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Zoolander 2, the much-anticipated sequel to the 2001 fashion industry comedy starring Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson.
Fashion police, we're clean, lady. Go harass somebody else.
Besides, I'm out of fashion.
Stiller and Wilson return as moronic supermodel Derek Zoolander and his rival-slash-best-friend Hansel, respectively. But Zoolander 2 is disappointingly slapdash, with a plot even more nonsensical than the original, performances that fail to capture what initially made the characters entertaining, and a dizzying cavalcade of celebrity cameos in place of actual jokes. Derek and Hansel are once again drawn into a high-stakes international conspiracy that happens to center around the fashion industry, but Stiller, who returns as director and co-writer, has mostly run out of satirical targets. I give Zoolander 2 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. John Katzlamitis of The Katz Report on the radio. Sitting with me this week in the studio is the manager of Britney Spears and a host of other superstars, Larry Rudolph of Las Vegas, Nevada. Larry, you've announced and are in the process of about to launch the new version of Britney's show,
correct?
Piece of Me at Axis Theater.
Right.
What, first of all, what was the motivation behind doing a revamp of the show at this time, and what are we going to see?
Well, we've been doing it for about 2 years now, and it just felt like it could use a little refreshing. And Britney wanted to add a few things, take a few things out, just to keep it fresh and interesting for herself and for the audience. And you know, we've added a good solid handful of songs that I think is going to make a big difference.
And what have you changed, added?
Well, we added like I Love Rock and Roll, If You Seek Amy, Breathe on Me, Touch of My Hand, She's doing a really amazing little dance medley that she put together to three different Missy Elliott songs. So there's a lot of new choreography. There's a lot of new staging, new props, new costumes. It's going to feel very fresh. We're still calling it Piece of Me because it's not an entirely new show, unlike sort of the Elton John show where it went from the red piano to the $1 million piano.
They changed the entire instrument, didn't they?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's right. It made it a lot more expensive. Yeah.
I was thinking it would be the $1 million oboe, but that didn't turn out to be the case. That was a full-scale change.
Yeah, it was a full-scale.
And the Celine shows is another example. They've done a major overhaul in temperature and sensibility of the show, and the whole display has been different. This is just going to be a few...
It's a good handful. I'd say roughly, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say roughly a third to 40% of the show is changing in various ways. I'm really excited about it. She's really excited about it, and she's reinvigorated in a lot of ways. And we just signed a contract, as most people have heard, for another 2 years here in Vegas. And
that runs to the end of 2017.
2017, okay. Exactly. December 31st of 2017 will be the last show.
Are the new lineup of headliners and access, does that play into your decision about when to launch a new version of the show? We've had, Jennifer Lopez has just ended her run. Mm-hmm. Pitbull's coming back. Lionel Richie in the room also. Is your strategy to make sure you time the upgrades in an area where Britney gets enough attention in this lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I hear where you're going with it. It wasn't sort of intentional in the sense of, oh no, Jennifer's coming in, so now we need a bigger and better show. Our show is a very different show than Jennifer's show. Jennifer is doing 120 shows over 3 years. Britney will end up doing about 260 shows over 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's a very different thing. And, and Jennifer obviously has a big career outside of Vegas. She's got a TV show on NBC and she still does a lot of films, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So this is sort of part of her business. But, Britney is primarily a music artist. That's probably 90-95% of her professional activities. Right. So really the show is something that we just, felt after 2 years needed a refresh, just again to keep the audience and her engaged and excited, and that was really our motivation for it.
What drew you to her in the first place, Larry? I've seen, and I don't know if, well, we haven't known each other long, but you were given credit for being the one to have actually brought her to notoriety, or at least one of those people.
I'm glad you put it that way. I hate when people say you discovered her.
I mean, there's a lot of mechanisms that go into making a person. I know you were there at the beginning.
No, I appreciate the way you phrased it, because you can't discover a human being. I guess that your parents do at the hospital when you're born. That's about it.
This girl was working at the malt shop.
I met her when she was 13.
Wow.
And she had just been off the Mickey Mouse Club for about a year. I hadn't seen the Mickey Mouse Club. She actually brought a VHS tape with her into my office and played me some stuff of her.
Hello. That's dating
the,
us.
Yeah, on the Mickey Mouse
Club. She was out of 8 tracks, I guess.
And she was amazing. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So she was amazing. And, the problem is that it was 1995. No, I'm sorry. It was 1995. And in 1995, if you were to look back at the pop charts, the pop charts was all urban pop at the time. Like Puffy was
totally.
Was like ruling the charts. And you couldn't get arrested if you were a young white kid. And so I literally said to her, listen, you're amazingly talented, but why don't you go home, go to high school for a year or two? Pop music is cyclical. It'll come back around. Pop music there'll be another resurgence of it soon. I guarantee it. And that's what happened about 2 years later. Spice Girls, Hanson, Backstreet Boys all started to hit at once. And this massive opening for a female solo artist. And she and I got back together at that point. She was 15 at the time. She had matured. I mean, she was gorgeous. You know, she was amazingly talented in every way, shape, and form. And we put some demos together. We shopped, brought it to New York. We walked around the city, hoofing it one day. We went to four different record companies trying to get them to pay attention. And, you know, she got a record deal out of it. And the rest is history.
She was on Star Search before even Mouse Club, right?
Yeah, I didn't know her then.
She was really young then. Yeah. Naturally talented.
Correct.
I mean, very just gifted girl.
Correct.
As her manager, I can just imagine she's a worldwide superstar now. What is your job description when as it pertains to Britney Spears now?
Oh, my God. Do you have a few hours? it's a little bit of absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. But the good news is that because she and I have known each other so long, I mean, literally, I've known her since she's a kid. Mm-hmm. We have a shorthand in terms of how we deal with things. And, we're so close and we have such a mutual respect for each other. And it just works so easily. And, you know, not to say that we agree on everything, of course, no, mm-hmm. That's never the case. But we have great conversations and sometimes debates about things and making decisions and creative decisions and directional decisions with,
trust your judgment.
Respect to her career. Yeah. I mean, after 21 years, you would think that's probably
I guess. Yeah. I don't think you stay around for 21 years if not.
That's
right?
True. But she's got amazing input, though. I got to tell you, the girl was really smart.
When you were starting to make the deal here in Las Vegas, were you able to scout the city out and kind of figure out where Britney would fall into place at that time? I'm thinking about a decade ago because the climate has changed so much.
Yeah. And I spoke to a few different people. It was just really about what their appetite was and who had the physical space that would make mm-hmm. sense. The Axis Theater made a lot of sense just because of its size. And also Caesars had already been in the business, the residency business with Celine, mm-hmm. with Elton, with Rod Stewart and whatnot. So they knew that business. I mean, those are more heritage artists. She's the first contemporary recording artist who's still releasing hit music to come in. So she sort of created a whole new lane that, you know, obviously now there's a lot of artists who are knocking at the door in Vegas of that, you know, in that genre.
You know, there's become a split, I think, Larry, and I don't know if you've seen this too, but I've picked up in those two venues that you mentioned, you know, because the Coliseum obviously is the first of the 4,000 seat residency places. Celine helped make that happen, and the late Renee Angelil helped, you know, made that a thing. You could do that now in Las Vegas. I'm feeling that the line has become that Axis is really a more of a party theater.
Correct.
Than the Coliseum at Caesars. And I don't know if, and Britney came in to make that happen, to throw the match into that gas can, as it were. Do you see that the same way? And does Team Britney see that the same way, that the part of the charge for her is just to bring the party, right?
Yeah, well, interestingly, you know, when we first walked into that theater, like when we were ready to make the deal, they took me into the theater. The theater had only been used for 10 shows a year before that. It was basically, a horribly underperforming asset.
The TPA, they were calling it at the time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened was, I walked in there and I looked around and it was just horrible. And I said to them, I said, you know, this place looks like it hasn't been touched in 40 years. And they said, that's because it hasn't been touched in 40 years.
No.
So I literally sat down and pretty much on the back of a napkin, drew out what I would like to do to change it. And I had this idea to put tables in the front and make it feel like a nightclub. Like when you go to a nightclub, you can get a table with bottle service and waitresses that look like they're nightclub waitresses. They love the idea. They greenlit it and they renovated the theater, did an amazing job. And now that theater is set up for exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's set up as a party theater.
Exactly. That area you're talking about is a happening party zone.
Yeah,
and the VIP tables, and there's the walkway that separates the
Correct.
Two. Perfectly utilized for her.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought the last show, I saw her three weeks ago.
Right.
And the place was alive.
Yeah, I saw you there.
There was no,
dancing.
You know, I was boogieing.
I saw what you were doing.
Uh-huh.
I saw you.
There's
you were good. You were good.
Do you know that there was some close to me dancing? The cats dance out there?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's for a person in my demographic as a journalist in my age division, I grew pretty well.
Right.
But can you give me an example, Larry? I'm talking to you. I'm fascinated by what the conversation must be like creatively with Brittany.
Yeah.
Like an example of something that you want, an initiative or something in the show that you wanted to present to her, and how that conversation works from her, from you and her to the stage.
I can't think of anything specific. We talked about we wanted to add a new section to the show, for instance. So we sat down and talked about I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking about that title
section. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like creating a rock and roll mm-hmm. section, and then we shifted a few things around. We sat down, her and I together, with a blank piece of paper, and talked about what that might look like, and what songs should be in it, what should be on stage. We came up with a really interesting prop that we had used once before, a long, long time ago. It's a mechanical guitar. It's almost like a mechanical bull, but it's a guitar, and she jumps up on it, and it just, it goes up and down and moves around and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's a great prop, and I'm glad we're able to use it here. We redid it, reskinned it, and it looks great. And she looks
like
great in the whole thing. And
yeah,
it's sort of like that. And then it all comes to life. The show, she's got an amazing show director who worked on the show, Baz Halpin, mm-hmm. And he comes in and he sort of helps put all the pieces together and bring it all to life, and is a great concept guy also. So sort of a team effort when we're talking about this sort of thing.
Yeah, as you were talking, I remember her appearance during the halftime of the Super Bowl, and I think it was 01 or 02.
Yeah.
And with Aerosmith.
With Steven.
Yeah, and that was so good. Yeah. Her in a rock and roll context was pretty fantastic. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Still my favorite performance.
Yeah.
Although I'm biased.
Yeah. So, and outside of the stage show, she's recording.
Yes.
And where are we with the new album?
Probably about 80% of the way done. I'm thrilled with it. It's funny, I spoke to her this morning and she said, this is my favorite album that I've ever done. And I said, yeah, I know, because it's different. It's really sort of a turn. It's not the last few albums have been sort of pretty straightforward pop. This is different. This is almost like Britney, if you can almost imagine like Britney meets like The Weeknd. It's got a really kind of
interesting
vibe. It's a lot of just, really cool stuff. I mean, I think people are going to absolutely love it, and she sounds amazing on it. She has not sounded better in I don't know when. So she's really excited about it. She's done a lot of writing on the album also, and I think it's going to be really big.
Is it titled yet, Larry?
No, not titled yet, because we're not finished
right
with it.
Now.
Yeah, okay, you pick it. Whatever you say, we'll call it.
A Piece of Me studio version.
Okay. I thought you were going to put a cat on it.
No. I'll think of one by the end of the show. Good, but is there a temptation now? That used to be the old model. It used to be recording and then you'd hit the road, right?
Right.
Is that what's going to happen when this album comes
out? Well, no.
Out?
This is
going to be promoted outside here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, this is it. This is the tour. You're looking at the tour. It's here. And people will come here to see her. That's the model.
Is there any idea of her doing festival dates or anything? Or can she do that in her contract? Like, would she be able to do a Rock in Rio in 2017 if it comes to Las Vegas?
She could. She could. Well, I don't know that we would do Las Vegas. There are restrictions. There are certain territorial restrictions.
Or Coachella.
Theoretically, she could to promote the show, but there's not really talk about that. We might consider doing a few international runs here or there, go to Europe for 3 weeks, Asia for 3 weeks, something like that, and bring the show there. That's a possibility, but nothing is concrete at all.
We've had Celine here since 2002.
Yeah.
And as long as tickets are selling and the show's successful,
this
is a definite open-ended possibility here.
Anything's a possibility.
Now, when do you return to the conversation? I know you just re-signed and you've got all these things in place and you're redoing the show. But when does the conversation begin about extending even beyond her current contract?
The Caesars will probably this time, Caesars approached us right after the first year anniversary to re-up, and it was going so well for them, and she's such an asset for them, and has helped turn what was a brand, the Planet Hollywood brand was not at the top of its game. It was definitely somewhat of a tired brand, and now it's a great brand. Now they're doing great with mm-hmm. it. It's like a complete turnaround since Britney came in, and now Jennifer came in, and they've got those two giant images of the two of the biggest superstars in the world on the outside of their building. You know, it's amazing.
It is an impressive facility when you think about it. And there's a lot of provenance in there too. The Theater for the Performing Arts was a rock hall for a long time. Saw Motley Crue in there.
And, yeah.
God, John Mellencamp, lots of Bob Dylan in that room. What else is going on in your career outside of Britney that you want to talk about, Larry? I know you've got a lot of.
Well, here in Vegas, you know, again, I'm really loving living in Las Vegas. I mean, I'm not here. It's funny, I came here because of the Britney thing, but I'm staying. I love it. My roots are deep, and I got a place in Tahoe now in Nevada, and like that's it. I'm all Nevada from here on, and. You know, I've got my much better half, Jen. She's opening a.
She's nice.
Yeah, she's.
You're overachieving there, my friend.
I know. Thank you. Please, I get it. I'm well aware. I'm very lucky. I'm a very lucky man. But anyway, she's opening. She's an indoor cycle. Nut. She's like a fitness queen, and she's opening a place in Boca Park called X Cycle, and it's going to be an indoor cycle facility in the same way that people know like Soul Cycle, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That's where she really got hooked on it when she was living in LA, so she's opening a place here. But believe it or not, there are no indoor cycle studios, no boutique indoor cycle studios.
That's true.
She's opening the first one, and there's a lot. A lot of heat around it, a lot of interest, and it should be open like early April. So, I'm really excited for her, and very excited for the opening.
Right on. Is there any other projects, entertainment wise, that you have your radar up about up and coming emerging artists in this city? Anybody who's on stage now, you might want to.
I'm starting to get involved with our friend Darren Feinstein, who owns. Mm-hmm. Who owns the El Dorado, and he has a company called Red Mercury that produces a lot of shows in town. And he and I are talking about partnering up to produce some more shows, both music and non-music, and just sort of expand that platform that he's built so well.
Yeah, they've really become a player in this time you've been here, coincidentally
exactly.
or not. But yeah. Twisted Vegas is a show they're bringing into the Westgate Theater.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
A number of shows. All the Westgate stuff is, almost all of it's a cameo coming into the Westgate.
Yeah, that starts like next month.
Yeah, in March. Yeah, yeah, they're going to be in the cabaret.
Yep.
So there's a lot of energy happening there.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see this year unfold, Larry. And we're about out of time. But when does the new revamp for A Piece of Me Becomes Reality? Saturday night?
This Saturday, January 13th is our first show. And then we go from there.
February 13th.
I'm sorry. February 13th.
That's right. February 13th.
Yeah, it is
the day before. And don't forget this, Valentine's Day, sir.
Yes. So we have a show on Valentine's Day. So bring your loved ones.
Bring your date. And, you bring your date.
Yeah, you bring your date.
Well, Larry, it's great talking to you, and it's been great meeting you and knowing you and learning more and more about you and what makes you tick. And a very impressive individual, Larry Rudolph, manager of Britney Spears, whose new show launches Saturday night. So check it out. I highly recommend it. Thanks again.
No, thank you.